I really love that song. Kind of like if we could have that attitude every single day, that we would have a new song to sing for God. That would just be so glorious, so wonderful. Well, as I was preparing for this morning, I got to thinking. You know, Nehemiah was a very well-educated man. And as you read through Nehemiah, you find out that he knows a lot about the history of Israel. He understands a lot about what the priesthood was supposed to be like, how the temple was supposed to function. He understood a lot of that stuff. And so I was wondering, what would it be like if Nehemiah could come back and talk to us? And he could explain to us why he did what he did. So today Nehemiah is going to come visit us. And I'm going to do this from perspective of Nehemiah as we look at his prayer and we look at some other things. But let's start in a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, we desire to learn about you. We desire to be able to take your word and apply it to our lives. As we look at Nehemiah, the man and the book and the things that happened in his life, give us insight into how we can apply your word to our life as we go day to day through a world that really does not love you. And so help us just to understand you and understand a little bit more about you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Nehemiah. I am the son of Hakaliah. And what I wanted to do this morning was share with you something that happened to me 13 years ago. My king had been in power for about 20 years. And we were wintering in the citadel of Susa, where we went every winter. Then one of my brothers, Hanani, came. He arrived at the citadel and he came with some men from Jerusalem or Judah. They had traveled almost 1,100 miles to get to the citadel. They had been traveling about 4 months. You see, when you travel in a large caravan, you only make about 15 miles a day on a good day and in good terrain. And it takes a long time to travel that long, that distance. I was excited to see them because I wanted to hear about Jerusalem and everything that was going on. You see, about 100 years ago, Israel was taken into captivity. And a very small remnant of our people survived there. After a period of time, Persia came along and they captured or they destroyed the Babylonians. And King Cyrus at that time let some of our people go back and settle in Jerusalem again. And another group went back about 30 years later. The Persians were kind, and they allowed the people that were in Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the temple yard. So anytime I could hear about stuff going on in Jerusalem, I was excited. So I asked them, what was going on? What was it like in Jerusalem? So they told me what was going on. It wasn't good news. In fact, it was very, very bad news. Almost so difficult to understand that it was hard to believe what was really happening. You see, Jerusalem was surrounded by enemies. And they would plunder and torment the people whenever they wanted to. The walls had been destroyed. The gates were burned. The city laid in ruin and was in ashes. And the people, the Israelites that had gone back, they weren't behaving the way they were supposed to. They weren't functioning the right way in the temple. And so, this news was devastating to me. It made me severely mournful, almost to the stage of depression. This thing got stuck on the back of my neck, excuse me. And I couldn't get the image out of my mind of Jerusalem, the city of David, the great city of David, now destroyed, walls broken, everything. And so I started fasting and praying and hoping to get some direction from God on what I could do. I fasted because I wanted to humble myself before God. And after a long period of time, almost 4 months, I was going to be before the king once again. And I knew that that was an opportunity for me. So I prayed the following prayer. And I want to read it to you real quickly. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand, Lord. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Now, I understand at this time you guys take a little break. You get some refreshments, some time for fellowship, and time to get to know each other just a little bit more. So let's take a break here. You guys can congregate in the back. There's drinks and there's food. And a little bit later, we'll come back. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the prayer that I prayed, and I'm going to explain to you why I prayed it the way I did. So join us back here in about 15 minutes for some more singing and the rest of the sermon. Thank you. hope everybody had fun and met someone new during the fellowship time. So what I'd like to do now is go through my prayer, the one that I pray before meeting with the King. It starts off very simple. And I said, Lord. And I wanted to start my prayer by addressing God by His true name. We as a people taken into captivity had been exposed to many, many different gods. And I wanted the Lord God Jehovah to know that I was directing my prayer towards Him. And so I started off with His name. The God of heaven, the great and awesome God. You know, our God is not a God that's made of wood or stone or any other material. He is the living God that reigns in heaven. And He is the one who controls or commands nature to do what He wants it to do. He is a great and awesome God. He's worthy to be praised and He's to be feared because of His awesomeness or His greatness. Look at with me at Deuteronomy 6. Do not follow other gods, the gods of people around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. And His anger will burn against you, and He will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to test as you did at Massah. We have a jealous God. He doesn't share His glory with anybody. He is to be feared and be given His due respect at all times. We are never to go towards another God. Great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. God has made many covenants with His people over the years. And He takes each one of them very, very seriously. And He's not going to renege on a covenant that He made with His people. I want to look at the very first one that He made with our people, with Abram. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God promised our father Abraham that He would make a great and mighty nation. And He did that. You can look at kings. All the kings that we've had. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. Here I wanted God's full attention. And so I used a phrase that probably we use with people. I want your ears to listen when I speak to you. I want your eyes to watch as I'm talking to you. We all know that God doesn't have ears and eyes, but we know that He listens to our prayers. We know that He sees what's going on around us. I wanted to be totally engaged with God. This was so important to me, this prayer. I'm sure I'm not the only one that prayed this way. If you look at Daniel, when he was in captivity, he says this,
Give me, or give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. I think a lot of times when we pray, we use human terms as we communicate with God because we really can't figure out any other way to do it. It's the only thing that we know, and God is so different than us. Back to my prayer, and I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. I was fully aware that we had wronged God, not only as a nation, but individually. We were not obeying His commands. We weren't keeping His decrees. And as a result of this, I knew that we deserved the punishment that we were getting. Not only as a nation, as a family, and as an individual sin. We had gotten from God what He had promised us. He had told us if we were unfaithful, what was going to happen. Here's the warning that He gave us out of Deuteronomy. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And if you go to that passage and you read it, you will find that there are numerous, numerous things that God said would happen to His people if they disobeyed Him. And we're experiencing those things in captivity. Later on in verse 64, it reads this way. Then the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your ancestors have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. And that's how we were in captivity. We never felt at home in these countries. I longed for Jerusalem to be there. You know, in Persia alone, we had been exposed to 50 different gods. Gods of good, gods of evil. In Babylon, we had seen or been exposed to 20 different gods that they worshipped, along with numerous other spirits and demons and monsters that they were afraid of. We had been exposed to so much. Many of the people that came in the captivity, their children now, really had no idea who the true God is. And that was devastating for the children of Israel. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. And that's the city of Jerusalem. Even though we had gotten what we deserved, I knew that God had made a promise to Moses that if we would turn from our wicked ways and we would follow after him again, that he would bring his people back to Jerusalem, to the great city of David. Israel, we have a history of rebelling against God and repenting and going back and following God and rebelling and repenting. Here we had, when we got taken into captivity, we had pushed God to his limit. And so he dispersed us everywhere. You see, God has always offered mercy to the lost because of his great love for people. And when they repent and follow him, he is, I don't even know how to describe what God is, but when God is loved by the people that love him, it is a good thing. If you look at Leviticus, it describes the way that many of us were. It describes how Jerusalem was. Those of you who are left will waste away in the lands of their enemies because of their sins. Also, because of the sins of their ancestors' sins, they will waste away. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors, their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile towards them so that I sent them into the land of their enemies, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. You see, I knew as a people we needed to confess our sins. And I knew it started with me as an individual. And so that's what I did. Just like today, God desires for each of us to repent and to come to him through his son Jesus. It always starts with the individual. And then it grows. But I knew that I had to confess not only my sins, but I needed to confess the sins of my family and my nation that had rebelled against God. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. See, these people that rebelled against God, God had chosen them. He's chosen us as a nation. He pulled us out of Egypt after 400 years. He redeemed us from that fiery place where we were. What I want to do is take a look at a prayer, part of a prayer that Solomon prayed as he dedicated the temple. He goes through quite a lengthy prayer. It's almost a history of what God had spoken to Moses and had told Moses about his people. And if they rebelled, what would happen? And during this thing, he says that if they rebel against God and they are taken into captivity, and if they repent and they ask for forgiveness, then he will redeem them because they are his people. So let's look at 1 Kings. And forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you, and cause their captors to show them mercy. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you bought out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. May your eyes be open to your servant's plea and to the plea of your people Israel, and may you listen to them whenever they cry out to you. You see, God is always waiting for us to turn to Him. He wants us to turn to Him whenever we've sinned. He wants us to come back into a right relationship with Him. Individually and as a nation for Israel. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. You know, I really hope that God would hear my plea this day. I also believe that there are other Jews out there that desire to go back to Jerusalem. So I'm not only asking that God hears my prayer, but I'm asking that He hears the prayers of His people all over the world. And that there are other people out there that revere His name and want to be in that right relationship with Him again. A people that want to be restored to Jerusalem, to the city of David, where God dwelt. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was a cupbearer to the king. You see, today I knew that I was going to be able to go before the king. And I knew that if God prepared the king's heart, that God could do something miraculously through me. But I knew that God had to provide the right opportunity for me. I knew that He had to make the king open to my request. I knew that only God would provide success. Because if I approach the king the wrong way, then I may not be here tomorrow. And I may not ever get an opportunity to be before the king again. Next week, we're going to take a look at what happened when I approached the king and what happened for the rest of those 13 years that I talked about earlier. You know, as I read through this today, I'm thinking, how does this apply to us today? I don't know if any of you guys fast on a regular basis for something. If fasting usually involves giving up something to take the time and devote yourself to God. It's also a very humbling thing to give up something and go before God. I don't know if many of you do that. I don't know if many of you are in prayer for something day after day after day, wanting to see God work. But I know for Nehemiah, that was what he needed to do to find out what direction God wanted him to go. And I think there are times when we need to sit down and we need to pray. And we need to fast and we need to mourn. We need to mourn the sin that we commit. And we need to confess it and ask God for forgiveness. So I would encourage you to Think about that. Think about mourning your sin. Think about spending some time where you give up something to be with God and to be only with God. A lot of people associate fasting with food. But it can be anything that you want to abstain from in order to devote yourself more to God. So think about that. Think about how with Nehemiah, one of the things that he did, he was able to remember the things that God had promised. And he went to God asking for those things. What has God promised us? You know, if you look through the New Testament, it's full of promises. We've been given all spiritual blessings in Christ. What does that mean? Do we ask God to provide that or to show us what that means in our life? So this next week, I would encourage you to keep reading through Nehemiah. See if you can understand the man. Look at how God works through one man over a period of years. It's just not a day or a week. It's over a period of 13 years that God uses Nehemiah. So, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that you are a God that will listen to our prayers, that you desire for us to come humbly before you, that we can ask and we can come before you because of your great mercy and your love. We know that you have promised that if we are faithful to confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. So give us that ability and the insights to know where our sin is and to bring it before you. Help us to be men and women of God that seek after you on a daily basis, that we understand you are a jealous God and there should be no other gods before you. And help us get rid of those little idols that we might have in place before you so that we can follow after you wholly. We thank you for your Son Jesus and that he came and lived a perfect life for us so that we could have salvation, that we could have a right relationship with you once again. We just thank you for the ability to fellowship with you. In your Son Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Amen. You guys have a good week. Enjoy the weather without the rain. Enjoy the heat for a little while.